Hi, I'm Jonathan.
And I'm Bethany.
And you're listening to the Horror Hero Podcast.
And unlike the movie franchise we're discussing today, we probably won't be going to space or the hood in an attempt to keep audiences interested. That's right, folks. We're going to be talking about the movie Leprechaun from 1993. But first, I'd like to know, Jonathan, what your favorite B-tier holiday is and why. I'm talking about anything lower on the rank than like Halloween, Christmas, and Thanksgiving, maybe Easter, but like Valentine's Day, St. Patrick's Day, Independence Day, Labor Day, that kind of thing.
Does New Year's Day count?
Yeah, I'll count that.
Okay, so New Year's Day, it is my grandpa's birthday and anniversary, and we get together every year and do gumbo. We do Cajun food, and I also just like any day that you can sort of like have an excuse to watch a movie.
Nice,
Um,
that's
so
awesome.
like. The Substance is a perfect New Year's movie. Or like, October 3rd is Mean Girls Day. I love being able to watch a movie on like a specific day. Or we just had Ash Wednesday, perfect day to watch Evil Dead or Army of Darkness. But what about you? What's your favorite holiday that is B tier?
I would say actually, like that's kind of changed my answer. I kind of New Year's Day is also one of my favorites because it's one of 2 days of the whole year that my work is closed. So I'm guaranteed not to have to work and I never have anywhere to go. So I usually spend the whole day just watching movies. Like I think every year I log about 5 or 6 movies on New Year's Day on Letterboxd.
That's nice. I know New Year's Day is like notorious for Twilight Zone marathons, right?
Yeah, it is.
Nice. Okay, so what have you been up to this week?
Well, watching a couple of Leprechaun movies, of course, in prep for today. I also watched a few new movies. I watched Eve's Bayou last night, actually, as a palate cleanser from Leprechaun, because I needed something that was serious to kind of palate cleanse from watching so much unseriousness.
So much dreck.
Yeah.
Can you tell we really liked this movie, guys?
No spoilers, but it was fine. I didn't hate it. What else did I watch this week? I watched some Mario Bava. Hercules in the Haunted World. Yeah, that was kind of it for watching movies for me this week. What have you seen recently?
Let's see. I think it was Wednesday. I went and saw The Rule of Jenny Pin, which
Nice.
was starring Geoffrey Rush and John Lithgow. He's a little more than disappointed in in The Rule of Jenny Pin. He is very unhinged. But that was pretty good. I think I gave it like a 3 out of 5 on Letterboxd. And then Friday night, I went over to Screenland and watched Bong Joon-ho's The Host. I'm also on Sunday going to go see Mickey 17, which I am very excited for. So it'll be a Bong Joon-ho weekend.
Nice. I'm also trying to catch that this weekend.
Oh, great. So what else have you been up to? Like, what have you picked up this week?
Well, let's see. I had a few movies come in the mail or discs come in. I'm waiting for some cooler stuff, but I got Blu-ray of Twister that has lots of bonus features on it, including a commentary with Jan de Bont and the visual effects supervisor. So that will be fun. I love this movie. I don't love it as much as I love its completely unnecessary like a sequel, which I have an undying love for Twisters from 2024.
Nice.
But this is still such a fun disaster movie. Love it a lot. And then I finally broke down and got a physical copy of Gravity Falls.
awesome.
It's out of print, so I figured while there are still copies left available, I should pick one up. It is DVD because the Blu-rays are like outrageously expensive. They want like hundreds of dollars for the box set,
That's insane.
for resellers right now, but this was only like $40, so that's not
Okay, did you
terrible.
pick it up retail or did you pick it up secondhand?
I got it off of eBay. Somebody was reselling, but it was brand new in package.
Oh,
So,
nice. Awesome.
yeah. And then somebody's grandpa died, I'm pretty sure, because there was a complete set of like Abbott and Costello VHS.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, like, just tons of different VHS of Abbott and Costello movies, but I pick up all the horror themed ones. So I got Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein, Meet the Invisible Man, Meet the Mummy,
I actually have that
and
one.
nice. Yeah, I haven't watched any of them yet. And then Meet Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
I didn't know that one existed.
Yeah, I don't think I had heard of that one either, but yeah, kind of excited to check those out. Yeah, and then so that's kind of what I picked up this week.
Awesome. Well, I will go next. So I picked this up back when the first Dune came out. It is a box that looks like the box that he puts his hand in.
Oh,
Right,
nice. That's
and
awesome.
so I swapped it out for the Dune Part One Steelbook, but this
Cool.
week I finished it off and picked up Part Two,
Oh, nice.
Dune Part Deux. And then let's see, as far as 4Ks go, I picked up Evil Dead 2013.
Nice.
Nice copy of that. I actually have another steelbook copy of this pre-ordered, coming out in 2 weeks.
Okay.
So I am a bit of an Evil Dead nut. And then, last episode you had sort of discussed Netflix movies and making sure that we support their physical releases. So I picked up All Quiet on the Western Front.
Oh, nice.
This movie is amazing. Have you seen it?
No, I
This is
haven't.
the
But yeah.
2022 version.
Okay.
I
Yeah.
think it won a couple of Academy Awards.
Yeah, it's definitely up for some.
The score is incredibly haunting. It's just got this like this couple of note theme that is just like so aggressive and like fear inducing. It's really good. Apparently it's not super closely attached to like the plot of the book.
Yeah, okay.
But one of my coworkers told me that it's like his favorite book, so I think I'm gonna have to give that a read.
Nice.
Then I picked up The Babadook, but
Okay.
it's a pop-up.
Oh, cool. That's awesome.
So I picked that up on
Yep.
Blu-ray. I picked, as far as VHS goes, I picked up a copy of The Blair Witch,
Oh,
but
so cool.
it's a two-pack,
Oh, wow.
and it comes with Curse of
Yeah.
the Blair Witch, which I've never seen.
Nice.
Then I picked up Scooby-Doo on Zombie Island, which is one of my favorites.
Classic.
I think I prefer Witch's Ghost, but both of these are
Okay.
great. The Sky
Yeah.
Cycle soundtrack is phenomenal. Adrian Barbeau's in this one. It's great. And this has actually got my favorite voice actor who plays Shaggy in it, Scott Inez. I
Okay.
believe I think he's in that, right? Yeah. Yep. Scott Inez. And of course Frank Welker, because he's in every iteration of Scooby-Doo.
Yep.
And then on Friday, I picked this up as a trivia prize. I've never seen it or heard of it. It is the Steve Buscemi movie Trees Lounge.
Okay.
The trivia question was kind of a gimme. I feel like I cheated them out of that one. But they let me take it anyway. So
Nice.
yeah, that's what I've been up to and collect. Oh,
Okay.
actually, a different piece of media that I picked up. I picked up the Last Call Love Songs vinyl from the band Blacklight Animals, which
Oh,
comes
nice.
out the on March 28th. This is my one of my good friend's bands, and he gave me an extra copy of it.
Oh,
So,
cool.
whenever it comes out, I will be buying an extra copy to give away as a prize if somebody
Cool.
would like a copy of that. But yeah, so that's what I've been up to. If you
Nice.
want to go ahead and move over into our news segment.
Yeah, for sure. So, our first story today, Fangoria gave us a look at the upcoming Arrow Video 4K UHD releases of Jason Goes to Hell and Jason X. These discs are packed with special features, and the cover art is really sick. They're available for pre-order right now, and they release on May 20th, 2025. I'm debating ordering these because Friday the 13th is my slasher franchise of choice, but kind of the only thing holding me back is that I really like having sets of franchises that match each other. And as much as these are beautiful pieces of art with a lot of cool bonus features, they're gonna, stand out differently from the other discs on my shelf. So
You have a little
I'm
bit of OCD.
I'm not sure yet. I've been debating it for about a week now.
Arrow usually they go on sale quite often. They have a lot of good sales. So maybe if you're kind of on the fence about it, maybe wait a little bit and see. Wait till they have one of those 50% off sales.
I might wait for sure.
Yeah, those covers are super sick. Yeah, but yeah, I kind of agree. Like I wish, that they all sort of had a uniform look to them. That's why I haven't picked up Nightmare on Elm Street on 4K yet, because they're putting out a steelbook set
Oh,
that has
wow.
all of them,
Nice.
all on 4K. So I will be waiting for that. But the art for that hasn't been released yet.
Okay.
But moving on to our next news topic, popping off of, I think this was clearly because of our episode last week or 2 weeks ago, our last episode, that the Asylum is or has produced a mockbuster of the monkey called the Jolly Monkey. I don't know if you do you want ever watch any of these Asylum knockoffs?
No, I haven't seen any of
I watch their like weird originals, but I don't really tend
Okay.
to watch their knockoffs. But I think I might have to check this one out just because we reviewed the monkey. But they got the monkey with the cymbals. I don't know how they got around Disney on that one. But yeah, this comes from director Ryan Ebert. It is his directorial feature debut. He is known as a writer on such films as The Shark Side of the Moon and Shark Warning. Both of these are obviously Asylum pictures that would have aired on the Sci-Fi Channel.
All right. So our next story, Amanda Seyfried has teased that a sequel to Jennifer's Body may be in the works. According to Fangoria, at a TIFF screening for Seven Veils, Seyfried said, "I think we're making another one. I didn't confirm it. I said, I think." And then she winked at the camera. She said, "We're working on it. We're working on it." So this follows writer Diablo Cody's 2024 comments to Bloody Disgusting, indicating that she wants to do a sequel and just needs to find the right creative partners. And like considering that Diablo Cody also told Deadline at the Lisa Frankenstein premiere in February 2024 that both of those movies take place in a shared universe, kind of feels like she's building this shared cinematic universe that I can really get behind. I love Jennifer's Body, so this news, it's not even really news. It's just like, oh, it might happen, but still, it's enough to get me really excited. Because I would love to spend more time in that world.
Yeah, I absolutely loved Lisa Frankenstein. When I came out of that movie, my reaction was instantly to say, I just witnessed a cult classic. This movie is going to be huge in 10 years, and I'm very angry about it because nobody went to go see that when it came out. And you can already start to see like a bit of a swell, like people are already starting to get behind it a little bit, but I think in like 10 years, people are going to discover that movie and it's going to be a cult hit for sure.
I dragged my sister to go see it with me, and she doesn't watch horror movies, but that was kind of like the right amount of spooky for her. And we really enjoyed it. We had a blast. And then I got out and I started seeing like people's reactions to it, where people were like, oh, it's kind of underwhelming. And I was like, did we watch the
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
same
And
movie?
as far as Jennifer's Body goes, I didn't really like it the first time I watched it, but the more I watch it, the more I like it. I've sort of started to get it a little bit more.
And
But
it's another one where it on release bombed, was not well regarded, and then like, a decade or more later, like a decade later, we're looking at it and going like, no, this movie has a huge cult following now.
Yeah, it had like a super weird marketing strategy. I think
Yeah, it was a
were
mistake.
really they were really targeting like horny teenage boys when that's not the type of movie it was
Yeah, I
at
know.
all.
Yara Zaid on YouTube has a video about the marketing for that called The Horror of Bad Marketing. And it really breaks that whole mess down.
So, taking us to our final news topic of the day, Deadline has confirmed that David Arquette is returning as Deputy Dewey Riley in Scream 7. In other news, who isn't returning for this franchise? I keep making the joke that they are going to bring back Wes Craven as the janitor in this movie. It is not beneath them to revive a corpse via CGI. I think it'll happen. So like what do you think the play is here? Do you think it has to do, this movie is still over a year out. Do you think that they're worried about potential boycotts due to the Melissa Barrera sort of situation that was going on? We also had announced that Matthew Lillard was coming back. And who else was coming? There was a third
Scott
actor.
Foley.
Yeah. So, what do you think? Do you have any theories? Do you have any ideas as to what is sort of going on in the heads of the Scream creators right now?
Well, the most boring, and like the mo you know the Occam's razor answer, simplest answer, is that these are all going to be dead characters that show up to taunt Sydney in like a dream, or a like a not actually happening kind of way, or maybe in some sort of meta way. I really hope it's not that, because I think that's super boring. One of my favorite things about the news with Matthew Lillard was coming back is that it turns out Matthew Lillard has been a Stew Truther for years. And he's spoken about this in interviews, where he's got all these theories about how Stew didn't actually die. We don't see a dead body, and therefore he just had some like major head trauma, went to prison, got jacked, and then now he's gonna be out and coming for revenge. That's literally what he told Fangoria last year in an interview, which is hilarious. I don't know that I'd necessarily want to see that happen, but you know what? If we got that movie, I wouldn't be mad about it, because it's very weird.
That is insane. I've seen some theories that maybe it's like a sort of deep fake AI thing.
Could be, could be.
that the new Scream Killer is utilizing.
Yeah.
I really enjoy the original Scream a lot. I think it is sort of a diminishing bag as far as those movies go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I don't know. I don't know. I'm still kind of on the fence as to whether or not to go see it, with the whole Melissa Barrera thing. But yeah, like I love Matthew Lillard. David Arquette is great.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It just seems a little, I don't know, like a decision that's like, hey, like please come. Like we need your money. It's like
Yeah.
the what's the kid from Little Rascals? People, we need your money. So let's move on into our film review for this week. This week we watched 1993's Leprechaun. If you need a plot synopsis for this movie, it's a killer leprechaun haunts people who stole his gold. It might be a secret prequel to Friends. This might be the Rachel origin story. Yeah, Warwick Davis plays this sort of wisecracking, Freddy Krueger knockoff of a leprechaun, who goes after Jennifer Aniston's character and a couple of kooky kids with a painting business. This movie is not good, guys. It's a mess. It tries to be funny. I think we were talking earlier, and it tries really hard to be Nightmare on Elm Street, but it doesn't have the wit or the guts to really do anything like scary or interesting. It was apparently supposed to be sort of a children's horror movie at first, but then they decided that they were going to take it into a gorier direction, because horror fans have money, obviously. But yeah, what did you think about this movie?
I didn't hate it. I did think that it was a really, really long 90 minutes. There were a couple sequences that just kept going on and on and on, and I was asking myself, why are they letting this scene go on? It's really just completely cutting away a lot of the dramatic tension. It's not very funny. There were, I think, three lines exactly that I thought were funny or memorable. And I'm not convinced that one of them was meant to be funny. It just was funny.
Which line would that be?
Let's see. So it's when, kind of early on, before anybody knows that there's actually a leprechaun. The leprechaun is underneath the truck and he starts like caressing Jennifer Aniston's leg. And they're like, oh no, it's definitely just like a cat or something. And she's like, I know what it feels like when a man caresses my legs. And she says this to her dad and her potential love interest. And they're both just kind of like aghast and flabbergasted. Like, what does this mean? Is this girl like slutty? And it made me laugh because it was just like her delivery was actually genuinely very funny.
It was so weird. So I was definitely, I mean, I was kind of joking when I said that, like, it feels like this is like a prequel to Friends. But she is like, she's still like this came out before Friends did, in 1993. Friends came out and premiered in 94. But she plays like this spoiled rich brat. Her dad, they get a home for the summer, and they're gonna fix this place up. And she is just like not having anything. There's dust, and she wants to stay in a hotel in town, instead of staying with her family. But yeah, like you said, like I don't hate this movie. I think there is some like minor nostalgia to it, or not so much nostalgia, but it does have that like holiday factor that you sort of like let it slip under the rug. Like it's a holiday movie. Like you can just put it on. But so I don't know why I did this to myself, but I sat down and watched this entire franchise this week. Only afterwards did you remind me that alcohol exists. And I did it stone cold sober, and this was a mistake. So we went from Leprechaun to Leprechaun in space, Leprechaun in Las Vegas, all the way to Leprechaun Back to the Hood. Like this franchise, every time this franchise, like every entry into this franchise, feels like a completely different thing. So like in the first one, they well we'll sort of we'll go into that in a little bit, actually. Let's keep talking about the first one first. What did you think of Mark Holton's character? He played Ozzy.
Oh, that was like what my first note was like, oh, please no. Please say we're not like we're doing a problematic like
Like a simple
I like
jack.
yeah, I was like, are yeah, it's like, oh no, are we doing Simple Jack? Are we doing like a really problematic autism spectrum portrayal, essentially, is what it felt like, where it was like, oh
But
yeah,
I don't think they are. I think
it was
maybe
not too bad.
I think his character might be coded that way, but like they're throwing like so this is an adult man who is
Hangs out
friends
with
with a
kids.
10-year-old child. And he like he's he's folksy, but he's not like people like
Believes in aliens.
they're just throwing insults at him, like say, so Ozzy and what was the kid's name?
Alex.
Alex. All these movies run together and they turned a mush in my brain.
It was handled better than this movie had any right to handle it, considering how schlocky the whole thing is, you know, in a sense.
Yeah, but like there's this one point, so they the two of them find the leprechaun's gold, and Alex insists that like we can use this gold to fix your brain, Ozzy. And later on, Tori, who is played by Jennifer Aniston, says, "Oh, you can't fix his brain." Like I don't think they were totally implying that he was special needs or autistic, but I do think that they were like it was the 90s and they were like throwing out the insults like it was like they were saying the R word without saying the R word. And like this character just does like he swallows a piece of gold, which honestly saves the group for the majority of the movie. But also like gets him into so much trouble because the leprechaun goes through, counts his gold, and one piece is missing. Because this idiot swallowed it. Like, I don't... Oh man. What about Warwick Davis's performance in this? What did you think of the titular leprechaun himself?
He's clearly having a lot of fun with it. I think the physicality of the role was really fun, and like having him kind of just be on all of these different modes of transportation, very funny. Unfortunately, the lines written for him were not funny, and they kept trying to make it funny, and it was like, this is it's not clever, it's not creepy. You know, it just it they the lines, as good as his delivery tries to be, they did not work for me at all.
So I remember being terrified of this movie when I was young because I completely misremember the movie. I remember it being a lot gorier and scarier. Like it must have been like a nightmare or something I had after watching this movie because I like remember him forcing the kid's head into the bear trap that that Alex sets up and gutting Ozzy like to get the piece of gold. Doesn't happen. Does not remotely happen in this movie. I think the goriest death is he pogo sticks somebody to death. And it's so bad. But yeah, like it's again, like you're right, like none of these jokes are they're very like pulled from like a joke book. Like they're not original, they're not funny. They're not biting. It just I think I agree with you. I think that Warwick Davis had a lot of fun with this movie. And I do really like him as an actor. I read his autobiography a couple years ago, and he seems like a wonderful, wonderful person. But yeah, like these movies just are not they're not great. I don't know, like I will probably trick myself into rewatching them at some point, a St. Patrick's Day down the line for sure. Actually, in fact, I'm probably gonna go see it again Friday night at Screenland when they show it because I don't ever learn a lesson. But yeah, like this movie is just I know we're not really talking about this movie, but there's like not much to talk about. Like it's just not great. It made a lot of money back in the day. It was made for about $900,000 and it made 9 million at the box office. So it was, I mean, sequel after sequel after sequel, this movie was greenlit for. And they come 1 year right after another.
That's like,
But it's almost like they're like have no idea how to continue it because like in the second one it's completely different. And the third one you'd think like a leprechaun in Las Vegas would be a lot of fun, but it's just not. Le Leprechaun in space, you'd think that would be, I don't know, it's wild too that like the leprechaun went to space before Jason did. Like it these movies feel like parody movies that would be like on the TV in a movie, you know what I mean? Like it feels like these are like fake movies that would be in universe of like a Nightmare on Elm Street movie or something like that. Like it they're just so bizarre and bad. They're just so bad. But yeah, so I guess we'll kind of break it down a little bit. We'll sort of go beat by beat on this. So yeah, so Dan O'Grady was the owner of this house, and he comes back from Ireland and has a has stolen a pot of gold, and this has sort of wrecked the leprechaun upon him and his family. The leprechaun kills his wife. Luckily, he is able to find a four-leaf clover, which is the leprechaun's one true weakness. His kryptonite is a four-leaf clover, which he so happens to just have a patch of clover growing right outside his front door. So he locks the leprechaun into a crate and places the four-leaf clover on top of the crate, and that does it. Like it just like a just lightly places it there. So we cut to 10 years later. The leprechaun is still in the crate. The wind has not knocked the four-leaf clover off of the crate or anything. But yes, this is when Tori Spelling, who is played There's Tori Redding, not Tori Spelling, that's an actress. JD Redding and his teenage daughter Tori rent the farmhouse from Mr. O'Grady, who is now in a nursing home. They're, like I said, like we said at the beginning, they're sort of fixing this place up a little bit. And they, with the help of Ozzy and Alex, and what was the love interest's name in
Nathan.
Nathan? Sort of looked like a, you kind of said he looked like a knockoff John Stamos a little bit.
Yeah.
That's sort of something with this franchise of movies, like everybody in it, aside from this first one, like nobody really went on to do anything other than Jennifer Aniston. But like everybody just looks like a
Yeah.
knockoff. Like we couldn't afford so and so. So we got like a knockoff. Like in the second one, the lead kind of looks like Omari Katz from Hocus Pocus. The male lead in Hocus Pocus. And
Yeah.
but he just looks like we picked him up at the dollar store. Or oh, we have that guy, we have that guy at home. So
Yeah.
yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to talk about this movie. Like it so while painting the house, Ozzy hears sort of a muffled cry for help, and thinking it might be a child or something, he opens the crate and the leprechaun escapes. And then that's, is that when they find the gold, or did, had they found the gold previously?
No, that hasn't come
Okay.
yet.
See, the, again, these
Or
movies are just mush.
actually, wait, let's see. Yeah, where are we? Da-da-da. Yeah, no, they haven't found it yet.
Okay, so they let him out,
Because
and
they have
then.
this whole thing where they're trying to find it, or like trying to find what Ozzy is claiming as a leprechaun.
Okay.
And then they find a rat. They're like, "Oh, Ozzy, it's fine. It's just a rat." And then Ozzy and Alex go off and they find the gold immediately after that, basically.
Well, and the gold just like magically appears. Like it,
Yeah,
they're
in an old pickup truck.
in a pic. Well, so they find a coin. They find a gold coin, and then
There's
Alex.
the rainbow. That's how they
Oh, the
know
rainbow.
where
Yeah,
to
they follow
find
the.
it. So
Exactly. So they follow.
After he lets the leprechaun out, they come outside, they're like, "There's a rainbow." And Ozzy's like, "I'm gonna go find the end of the rainbow." And they find the end of the rainbow.
And he finds a
And
single
then the
gold
gold
co
appears.
he finds a single gold
Yeah.
coin, and then Alex is like, "Oh my God, I want it, I want it." And then just like the worst like cheesy made for TV like fade
Fade
in
in.
of a brown bag of gold, and
Yeah.
Alex is like, "Okay, never mind, I'll take this one." So yeah, they wind up taking one of the gold coins to a pawn shop to get it appraised and see, is this real gold? Is it possibly a leprechaun's treasure? Which then unleashes the leprechaun on the poor, unsuspecting pawn shop owner,
Yeah.
who unfortunately gets pogo-sticked to death. And I get like, I can't remember a single like funny line that he has. Like I know he was trying to say something funny, but it's just like
Yeah.
nothing.
Nothing,
Nothing sticking from this movie.
none of his lines made it into my notes. So that tells you something.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because yeah, I write down stuff that I think is funny, and none of the leprechaun's dialogue made it in.
Yeah, so then the leprechaun steals a go-kart from the pawn shop owner, and starts hot rodding down the highway, only to get pulled over by a cop. And again, like you can definitely tell like that this was supposed to be a like a children's movie, because
Yeah.
like the that's what the jokes feel like. Like The cop pulls him over, and he being a little person, he's like, "Oh, aren't you a little young to be driving?" And the
Yeah.
leprechaun goes, "Oh no, I'm 600 years old." And it's like, it's just like not funny. So yeah, the leprechaun kills the police officer.
Yeah, and this is one of the scenes that dragged awfully. Like
This movie is.
him chasing the cop through the woods went on for like way too long. I should have timed it because it was insufferably long.
This movie is only 90 minutes, but it drags
Yeah.
so bad.
Yep.
I had to watch it on 1.5 speed. TikTok has rotted my brain so much that I have to watch Leprechaun on 1.5 speed because it is so rough to get through. So then the leprechaun drags the cop back into the cop car, right? With magic. Like, we don't see this, but off screen he pops him back in and then drives the cop. So he stole a go-kart, then he steals a cop car. Then later on, almost immediately after pulling up in the cop car, he builds another go-kart
Or he
in
tricks
the
out the other one.
No, it's a completely different thing.
Is
Like,
it?
it looks completely different.
It looked like the same yellow one, and then he just
No,
added
it's so
stuff
it's
to
made of like it's
it.
like steel. And
Okay.
it's got like obviously it is tricked out 'cause he's got the pitchfork on the front end
Yeah.
of it. And I don't know how this thing knocks over a pickup truck. Like, it sideswipes
Yeah.
a Tori in a pickup truck, and it just tumbles down a hill. Like, it's leprechaun magic, I guess.
Yeah.
So they wind up running and hiding out in the farmhouse. The leprechaun climbs down the chimney like one of Santa's elves, like, since we're making that sort of comparison. I don't know, this is just so like generic. Like, they do a, you know, they shoot him with a shotgun, and is it oh, is he dead? We gotta creep up on him, and he jumps up and they somehow get the leprechaun out of the house after the leprechaun skateboards for a second. So they get the leprechaun out of the house, and Ozzy brings up that they need to go talk to Mr. O'Grady, who is at the nursing home.
Yeah.
And so they go over there, or Tori does. Meanwhile, I don't know. The other characters aren't really doing anything at this point. They're just there.
No, we just follow Tori, and it's like probably one of the only sequences in the film that I think has some good filmmaking.
It's Dutch Angle
All of the
City.
Dutch angles following her down the hall.
It's
Looks very
done.
cool,
Yeah. And then,
especially when it's been such boring filmmaking up to this point. You really notice how
yeah,
much better it looks.
it is flat, pretty flat filmmaking. There are a couple shots where it's like, oh, they got a crane for this shot.
Yeah.
And I had listened to one of the commentary tracks on it, and the director talks about like, oh, we got a crane on this day, and I used it as much as I could. And so yeah, like I said, it's Dutch Angle City as she's walking
Yeah.
through this hallway, and she sees a shadow of the leprechaun on the wall. Cut to, she looks in the room, and it's just a broom. So in the behind the scenes clip, they couldn't get it to look like him, so they just had him stand there.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, yeah,
they didn't have
fair.
a cutout of him or something that they could cast a shadow with. They just literally had Warwick Davis in costume. Like, we had to dress him up, 4 hours of makeup. All right, just stand here so we can get a shot of you casting a shadow. So she walks into Mr. O'Grady's room, and it is clearly not Mr.
Yeah.
O'Grady. It is Warwick Davis pretending to be him. The leprechaun has done something to him. And he has a
Yeah.
very, very heavy Irish lilt. And I mean, one of the maybe the worst scenes where sitting in a wheelchair, he turns around and chases her down the hallway that he just came down.
Yeah.
And it is, I mean, they had to shoot it. I think they said they shot it at like 16 frames a second so that it would like speed up.
Okay.
But yeah,
Yeah.
it looks so like comically like bad and like how it sped up. And she rushes into an elevator where Mr. O'Grady's body falls through the ceiling. And this is where he
Yep.
tells her that the only way to kill a leprechaun is with a four-leaf clover. And there's a, again, conveniently, a four-leaf clover patch right in his front lawn. So she gets back.
Yep.
They sort of she thinks she's escaped the leprechaun. The phone rings. It's a leprechaun. So they're sort of playing off of Nightmare on Elm Street a little bit. She throws the phone, unhooks it from the wall, chucks it. It rings again. Obviously, let's pick it up. Like it was just, it's unhooked from the wall and it's ringing. Let's pick up this phone. And then they really pull a Nightmare on Elm Street where the hand of the T teeny tiny little hand, which is one of my favorite things in this movie,
Yeah.
reaches through the phone. But it's not like a scare, like it's just like kind of like a weird creepy thing.
Yeah.
And so like her and Ozzy are looking through this clover patch, and I don't know if you've ever tried to find a four leaf clover. It's obviously not very
No.
easy. But they're looking and Ozzy's like, well, you just lost your faith. And I'm like, she's never been like, I don't know who you're thinking of, but she has never once shown any inkling that this might be a leprechaun even. Like, she doesn't believe him
Yeah.
even having seen the leprechaun. And he's just like, oh, you just gotta believe. And she's like, all right, I believe. And then it's just in her hand. She's like, oh, it's there.
Yeah.
And so yep, the leprechaun attacks. The leprechaun finds out that the coin is in the belly of Ozzy. But Alex is trying to set up a bear trap to trap the unicorn, the not the unicorn, the leprechaun. To try and trap the leprechaun. And so the leprechaun grabs Alex and kind of holds him up to the bear trap, and I think Nathan comes and saves the day there. Or no, maybe it's Ozzy. I think Ozzy
It's
saves him.
Ozzy. Ozzy draws him away by telling the leprechaun that the gold is in his stomach.
And then so the leprechaun takes one of his buckles from his boot and starts slashing Ozzy in the face. Then Alex grabs the he grabs the four-leaf clover and puts it in a piece of gum that he's chewing. And we cut to him giving his one badass line in this movie as he pulls a slingshot back and says, "Hey, leprechaun, fuck you, Lucky Charms," and flings it down his throat. And actually, I think that this sort of special effects sequence might be one of the coolest in the movie, where the leprechaun is just like
Yeah.
melting.
Melting. Yep.
And it's maybe the only memorable thing about the movie. Just this look of like, it's like this green liquid. And I guess they were like, so Warwick Davis had to wear like all of these different hoses and stuff. And so they were just blowing like cigar smoke through these hoses that were like right by his face and everything. As
Oh,
he's
wow.
melting, and then it switches to a puppet when he falls down into the well,
Yep.
and he pops back up for one last scare, and the Nathan goes and kicks him down the well and or shoots him, and then grabs a gas can and lights it on fire, and that's pretty much the end of the movie. Like it,
Yeah.
Something with these movies, they all end very abruptly. Like when they're over, when the leprechaun is done, it's like the movie is over. There's
Yeah.
not much resolution. But then again, the characters aren't anything that we really care to follow anyway. So
Yeah.
overall, like I think the movie's fine. Like it's again, I think I will probably trick myself into doing another seasonal watch next year. But man, I don't want to. These movies are so bad. What about you? What were your final thoughts before we hit some letterbox reviews?
Yeah, you know what? I don't think I would watch. I mean, maybe I'll watch some of the others just to see how bad they are. But I don't think the only other one I watched other than the original Leprechaun was Leprechaun in the Hood, and I don't think I can ever watch that movie again, as much as I love Ice-T. It just I was bored
You
out of my mind watching it.
didn't like Ice-T pulling weapons out of his afro?
That was like one of the only things that I wrote down in my notebook. And it was
I
like, wow, weapons coming out of the fro.
Yeah, it was so
Yeah.
on my
But I would,
letterbox. Oh,
yeah.
go ahead. On my letterbox, I
Oh,
had
yeah.
basically said that this movie, Leprechaun in the Hood, if this movie had a rap name, it would be Vanilla Ice-T.
Yeah.
It's the raps are bad. Although it does end with a leprechaun rap that is
Which was
it
a
was something.
choice,
It was something.
especially since it was the year 2000 and we were definitely past the prime of like tie-in raps over credits. Like, you know, that wasn't
Yeah.
really a thing anymore in 2000. That was definitely an early two or early 90s thing.
It was 2001,
In
I
the 80s
think.
too.
Yeah, I think that one came out in 2001, or was it 2000? Let me check. I've learned how to spell leprechaun. Like I can do it by heart now.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. It was 2000. So I think we're safe. The leprechaun didn't have anything to do with 9/11. Although I don't know, he didn't.
but
He the leprechaun was missing from 2000 to 2003, so we don't know. Apparently, they were
Yeah.
supposed to do, instead of In the Hood, they were supposed to do Leprechaun in the White House.
Okay.
I don't know, but I just
Yeah.
these movies, yeah, they're almost like an SNL skit, like stretched out into 90 minutes.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's move on over to some Letterboxd reviews that you had.
Yeah.
What do people who love this movie say? What do people who hate this movie say?
So I mean, okay, so a lot of people quote like the only memorable line in the whole movie, "Fuck you, Lucky Charms." A lot of people talking about the go-kart, the pogo stick. I would say there didn't seem to be a lot of like strong hatred for the movie, just a general acknowledgement that it's not pretty good, or it's not very good, and your mileage with that level of quality will vary. Some of my favorites were Jay says, "Let's have some fun. This beat is sick. You're gonna get killed by a pogo
Again, and that
stick."
rhyme is better than the one that he does
Anything in the movie.
in the movie.
Yeah. Matt says, "Look, I'm not saying this movie is literally about my wife whenever I hide her obnoxiously large Stanley tumbler, because that would be extremely rude of me. But she is 4'10 and unhinged and would absolutely murder me with utter glee if given the chance, and is only quelled by cute flowery vegetation. So you be the judge."
That's good.
Yeah, Emma Felix says, "So terrible, but there's something about a leprechaun on a tricycle that gets me every time," which was kind of how I felt about it too. Jesse compares the leprechaun to the T-800. He can manipulate his voice to any human being, uses a vehicle as a source for destruction and harm, and seemingly can't be killed with ordinary weapons. But I nearly fell off the couch when he burst out of that barn in that go-kart. An Anomaly says, wealth doesn't kill leprechauns. Tory Redding kills leprechauns. Yeah, so those are some of my favorites. They're all pretty much ab across the board, 2 to 3 stars those people gave it. And yeah, even the people who are like, this movie is bad, that's was kind of their takeaway. This movie is bad, but also crazy.
I just wish it was
So
like more in the like so bad it's fun. And
yeah.
I don't know if I'm like over that now. If I've like kind of grown out of that, because I used to like love that sort of thing. Or if this is just like that bad.
I really think that I will revisit this next year, but I am gonna have a few drinks first
Okay, I
because
think we could make a drinking game of it.
yeah, I think it'll make the secret sequences that drag feel a little less draggy.
Yeah.
That's my theory.
My
Yeah.
suggestion is watch it at 1.5 speed.
The only thing is, then everybody sounds like the leprechaun.
Oh yeah. And then when he's rolling his wheelchair, he's going real fast. So, but yeah. That'll be it for our review this week. What do you have coming up?
I have well, hopefully Mickey 17 this weekend. Not a whole lot is coming to my theater in the next couple of weeks. So, I mean, I'm just going to keep my ear to the ground and see if something pops up. That's going to be fun. So that's kind of TBD. Other than that, I mean, one of the things I work on the side is screenwriting. So I've been watching. So part of my watching right now has been really trying to watch pieces of media that are going to inform certain scenes I'm writing.
Did you get any inspiration from 1993's The Leprechaun?
I don't think so. It's very different tonally from what I'm writing.
Okay. Sort of a what not to do.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
Yeah. Although, man, that Dutch angle sequence, I was like, I might steal that for something. That
Yeah.
was real good.
It was,
I just loved how it was
it just
like
kept
kept
going.
tilting back and forth and back and forth. And I was like, I love this.
I was wondering if that was just like we had a film student on set that day and we
Yeah.
let
And they
him
weren't
take the
sure what to
camera.
do.
And he was like, guys, have you heard of this thing called a Dutch angle?
He's definitely inspired. You could argue that he inspired Kenneth Branagh when Kenneth Branagh was filming Thor.
There you go.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite things. Well, favorite bad things about the movie Thor from 2008 is there are just so many unmotivated Dutch angles.
Yeah.
At the very least, I would say the Dutch angles in Leprechaun are motivated.
I
They
think
are putting you in a frame of mind.
I think Thor was sort of like almost Instagram inspired, like you know, like in like 2008, like that was a big thing, like everything had to be like slightly askew in your Instagram photos, like
I've listened to interviews with old Kenny B talking about his thought process behind that, and I'm just like, yeah, you made the wrong decision, man. I understand why you thought it was a good idea, but you're like a Shakespeare dude. You should have stuck to filming Thor like it's a Shakespearean drama, because that's kind of what it is, just with superpowers.
was it something to do with like having it feel like otherworldly and out of place?
Comic book panels. He really thought he was emulating comic book angles because they sometimes have interesting angles. And I was like, it really doesn't feel like a comic book frame. None of it does.
It's pretty grid-like for the
So,
most part. Like,
yeah.
there are a couple
Yeah.
characters that can burst out of a panel, but like for the most
Yeah.
part, it's there's a
Yeah.
standard, I think. Go back to like Ang Lee's Hulk movie, where
That
he
is more of that kind of
where it's
idea.
literally like it's sort of doing these like
Split screens.
split screens, like side
And
swipes, but they're
yeah.
literally going from comic panel to comic panel, and they're like
Yeah.
flipping the page to go to the next scene. Like,
Yeah.
that's like a choice. We were
Yeah.
talking about early 2000 superhero movies before this, and how I am I haven't watched it in like maybe 15 years, but I'm gonna say it now. I am a stan for Ben Affleck's Daredevil.
I
So
would say I'm that for like Ghost Rider.
yeah, oh, I mean that's
Not
just Nick
because,
Cage.
yeah, so fun. Not good, but so fun.
Absolutely. Did you watch the second one?
No, I never watched the second one. I kind of want to though,
That
because I
one's
heard it's even
even more
worse.
unhinged. But yeah. So, man, where are those days? Where we would get one to two a year instead of 12.
Yeah.
So yeah, this episode should come out on the 13th of March. So as far as movies that are coming out this weekend, like I said, Screenland is showing Leprechaun at on Friday, March 14th at 9:30. I will probably be there. I don't know why I'm putting myself through this again. But it'll be more fun with friends, I think.
Yeah.
Also coming out on March 14th is Steven Soderbergh's new movie Black Bag,
Oh yeah.
which when I first saw the trailer for this movie, I thought like, well, that's a dad movie if I've ever seen one. Like it definitely felt like something that my dad would find on Netflix and suggest to me. But it actually, like, the more I hear about it, the more I'm kind of into it. We are also getting a new 2D animated Looney Tunes movie out in theaters on the 14th,
Nice.
as well as Jack Quaid's Novocaine, which is sort of like an action comedy. Looks like a lot of fun. And then A24's Opus, which is sort of more in the horror vein, is coming out on the 14th as well. And then I think that might be it. Hopefully you can luck out and Borderline is playing near you. The new Samara Weaving movie. I think as far as movies go, that's pretty much it. And again, make sure to get your tickets for Panic Fest. That is the final weekend in March. I'm really, really excited for it. So they're opening the fest with Hell of a Summer.
Nice.
So I'm really excited to see that. And then I think they're also doing a 30th anniversary screening of Halloween 6.
Okay.
Will Paul Rudd be there? Probably not, but I can hold out hope.
But that'd be awesome.
That would be awesome. Panic Fest is so much fun. If you can go, it's a lot of fun. And then yeah, I will definitely have to do like a mini episode sort of going over everything that I saw there. But at the Film festival closes out with Clown in a Cornfield, and I
Oh, nice.
just read that book, and it's a lot of fun. I think it'll be really enjoyable. But I think that about wraps us up for this week. Bethany, where can the lovely listeners find you?
I am on Instagram as the Bethany Laurel. I am on Blue Sky and Letterboxd as Bethany Laurel. And
Awesome.
if you poke around in either of those places, you'll find a link tree that will direct you to some darker corners of the internet where I may be lurking, in a less public capacity. Who knows?
Are you on Wattpad?
No.
Tumblr.
I am on Tumblr.
Okay, you seem like a Tumblr girly.
Tumblr is a good time.
Is it
It's
back? Is Tumblr so back?
Oh, Tumblr has never gone away for those of us who,
Yeah.
grew there. It's just become stranger and more insular than ever,
Okay.
which is fine. We don't mind being the weird little clown factory in the corner of the internet that nobody likes to
The
talk about.
weird little ball pit in the middle of an empty
Yeah,
warehouse.
pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dashcon
But you can find me at Jonathan McEninch on most things. I'm on Twitter, Threads. You can find the podcast at Horror Hero Pod on Blue Sky, Twitter, Threads, and Instagram. And yeah, I'll definitely put the link in the episode notes this time. But yeah, I hope everybody has a great week, and remember to keep your shamrock shaken, not stirred.
Bye, guys.
She's dead, wrapped in plastic.
Yeah, truly amazing.